tried to do was all the things I just named, the IVIG, the plasmapheresis, after we got transplanted. I even went on Rituxan, which is a chemotherapy drug. It's part of the cocktail they give you for cancer, right? And I got real sickly. And what happened was they found out that sometime when you do these treatments after you transplant, it's too hard on the kidney to survive. So that kidney lasted like 4 or 5 months. And that was the story of my second kidney transplant right there.
Man, it sounds like you've educated yourself a lot through the process. I mean, just being able to explain the things that you explained and, you know, all the different drugs and all the different processes. Did you have to go outside and do research? Did they give you this information? How did you get your education into the whole process?
Well, me personally, my personality since a kid, and even to this day, I'm the guy that always wants to know the why. You know how some guys are like, bro, let's move this process along. This guy does this guy does that, et cetera, et cetera. Let's make it and go to the next one. I want to have my questions answered. Okay, well, who's doing the lighting? Who's the publisher? You know, like, who's the host? Okay, who's the researcher? I want to know. I want to meet these people. So I've always been like that. So as opposed to not only that, with it failing the first time and the second time, I felt an obligation to myself to say, hey, wait a minute. What is there something that you can add to this by maybe you understanding what's going on, as opposed to you just kind of like getting in the seat, putting the seatbelt on and hope everything goes right, right? So from the perspective of kind of like really wanting to understand my own journey and what was happening to me and why it was happening, it was the motivation to kind of make sense of all of these terms and, you know, different things that were going on so simultaneously that most wouldn't even want to jump in that endeavor, right? But that was my motivation. I was like, well, no matter what happens, if I be on dialysis forever, I want to understand, okay, why? Like, what happened? Like, right? And so just trying to grasp that journey, that made me start understanding the terms, and I would write stuff down. And then it started coming together kind of like a puzzle a little bit. Like, oh, okay, this does this, and this does that, and this does this, and that's why they put you on dialysis, and this is how you don't cramp, you know, these are some of the foods you can still eat, how you can take the potassium out. It just almost was like a fight to have a normal lifestyle, mentally and physically, that motivated me just to want to understand it from a practical standpoint, not so much from like a an almanac standpoint or informational standpoint, but just from a practical standpoint. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I just started looking at everything in pieces like a puzzle. And I started figuring out like, okay, this is how all this stuff comes together, right? And that kind of motivated me to just kind of like, I kind of fell in love with the understanding of this dialysis thing and this kidney transplant and who plays what role. You know, it's like a movie production. I wanted to know everybody who was from the executive down to the guy in craft services. I wanted to know everybody's role. And I went on that journey to figure it out. And there's still more to know, but I just enjoy the journey of trying to grasp more understanding of, you know, who plays what role and what's the priority of these roles and things of that nature.
Right on. So, and Maurice, you can probably speak to this, but, you know, throughout, we've had conversations with other folks that have had success in their treatments, and the through line is self-education. And, and part of Maurice, what, you know, when you came to me initially, is that people aren't being educated through the system, right? And so what we're trying to do in terms of affecting change is how do we incorporate or how do we inspire the system to educate the patient so that they get the ease? I mean, not that it was easy for you, but there was a certain ease in your treatment where, to me, it seems like you were never a victim of your circumstance. You were always, because you knew what the process was, you could take an active role in it and not feel like it was just happening to you. You know what I mean? And Maurice, I don't know if you can speak to that real quick in terms of how your patients like that are on dialysis maybe don't know that they like there's no hope. And if that mental state or that mindset makes a difference in the treatment.
Well, it does. And I mean, we know just from watching people, you know, on dialysis that if they know more, they have a better outcome. I mean, and that's the whole point. I don't understand why they fight us on that. And you might speak to that too, Fila. What was like the biggest difference between like the first time you was on dialysis and then the second time you went on dialysis? Because then the second time around, everything had went corporate. You know what I mean? So did you see any differences in, you know, treatment and how people treated you the first time around than you did the second time?
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing that I always did. I always got to know people like you, like Paul Terry. Y'all kind of remind me of the same person. And I would always have advocates, you know what I mean? And,
right.
You know, it's such an oxymoron between prison and the real world. But the lessons that I learned in prison was, it's kind of like you have to network for survival. And I took that same mind state in dialysis. Like, I would be networking with certain physicians, you know, to the point to where I could see the ones that were more or less like, you don't know what you're talking about, and they would leave it at that. But then I would see the ones that were like, no, you don't really understand it yet, but let me help you understand, right? All the way to the point where I had one of the leading nephrologists out here named Patricia Blakely. I had her cell phone number. We would talk all the time like friends, right? And it's things that she would tell me. And speaking on when you said things were going corporate, she would just tell me ahead of time, like things that were about to happen. Or she would say, I'm not going to be at this unit no more. I'm going to Colton, California. So if you want to put in a transfer. And so to me, wow. It has a lot to do with networking. Like once you figure out everybody's role, like say you're having a problem with your diet or meal prep, but you befriended the dietitian. Or even if you can't befriend the dietitian the way you want in your unit, there's a lot of dietitians. There's dietitians in just local hospitals. There's dietitians that, you know, they go to different charities. You know, you can catch them online, you know. You can Google questions, you know, and you can just start kind of like being the CEO of your life, even though you have these doctors and these dietitians and these people in the records and everybody playing their part. It's almost like you build a standard for yourself, for your quality. It's like, you know what? I'm going to figure out how to get the best diet, not just for my body, but that I will want to eat. And I'm going to, if it won't be this dietitian that tells me, maybe I'll just look on DaVita.com or Fresenius.com and watch their cooks. You know, maybe I'll just type in dialysis, you know, healthy living cooking, you know, till I see that chef. And then I'll start to meal prep with all these meals, right? And then I'll put that in conjunction with what the dietitian tells me. And I kind of like fact check, like, okay, well, this dietitian said, if you boil the potatoes for 10 minutes, you can take the potassium out. This one said, you know, let them sit overnight. I'll try both ways. I'll see which way, when I go into dialysis, my potassium high. Oh, it's low? Okay, then boiling them, it works better for me and it's faster. Because sometimes I might not want to do the overnight and wait on my French fries. I might want to do the 10-minute boil, rinse, and make my French fries, right? So I just started researching just to live like a more normal life that as I could. And once I start having these advocates like these physicians and dietitians and the techs, I won't say they're more important than them, but you guys are like, y'all, if I could put this in politician terms, you guys are the lobbyists. Like I could go to you and say, hey, bro, you know, you think you could talk to the dietitian and see if this and this and that, you know, I can't really afford this nutrition supplement. Can you see if maybe she'll meet with me about getting an extra one during the week, right? And maybe me asking her, it'll just be a flat no, because that's the standard that she tell everybody to ask. But being that I was able to befriend you and you like me from a personal standpoint and she knows you from a personal standpoint, it's almost like that equity is transferable. Like I can't use my equity, but I can use my friend's equity. And y'all always interacting in them hallways. So you can say, hey, you know, let me talk to you for a minute. Hey, you know, patient Coleman, I'm not going to ask you this for everybody, but you know, he's really trying to take care of himself. And, you know, he could use two of those, not Sustacal. What's the Reno drink they give us?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Like Renovite or something, one of those.
Renovite, yeah. That's the vitamin.
That's the vitamin. It's it'll come to me as we're talking, but
yeah,
you know, like you can petition for me. You know what I mean? Because you feel me and they feel you. So I just started figuring out the connections of the relationships and kind of like how to navigate towards getting what I actually needed, you know, to move forward. You know what I mean? And once I started doing that, I had a better diet. My labs were better. Mm-hmm. That pull wasn't so hard on me because I was keeping the salt off my diet. I was using the Mrs. Dash, you know, and dialysis was more like an inconvenience as far as time. That was the thing it was, where before it was like time. It was taking my energy. I felt like my skin was looking different. My look was different. It was taking like my self-esteem. Dialysis, it was like a big battle. But as we progressed through the rounds, you know me, like round two and round three and four, I started kind of like catching up a little bit. It was a little more even fight, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I just felt like just by trying to understand it better and who played what role, I felt like my role was almost to be like the CEO over me. Like I couldn't control nobody else's job, but I had to control me and my behaviors and my attitude towards trying to get the things I need to make it through this. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, what I've seen through this and in conversation with you, Maurice, just that the technician's role could be utilized so much better in the process, right? Like you've gotten in trouble for being too much of an advocate for people, right? Because the system doesn't really, I don't know, from my perspective, doesn't really want that, you know? So, you know, having this conversation just brings a light to me on the necessity of, you know, technicians and patients being able to work together to be able to, you know, you the technicians, like you said, like that's the lobbyist, right? That's the person that can go and actually affect change. And it's actually, you know, but people need to know what you just said, that they can, you know, find the right, you know, you got to find the right people, because not everybody is Maurice and not everybody's Paul Terry, but I'm sure they exist everywhere, right?
Yeah, they do. They do. I mean, and they find a way. I mean, we just find a way to talk to patients. Like Phila said, like we might catch you outside the center and chop it up with you and tell you, man, look, this is what you got to do. Sometimes we can't do it inside of the facility. You know, sometimes we can't have them conversations because, you know, like you said, I don't understand it, but they just don't want us having those conversations. That, you know, I don't know why they don't want patients empowered. I mean, that's what this is about. We had to do this. You know, this was a thing that was a necessity out of what I see. But, you know, you would think some doctors want that and others don't. So it's like a mix. I can't say it's all one way or, you know, the other way. You know, just hearing Phila's story, that empowers people. That's right. Going to give people a way, and it gives them an example of what they can do. They might ad lib there. They might do it a little bit different. But whatever works for them at least gives them a basis to start from.
Right on. So we're going to start to bring this to a close, but Phila, I want to give you an opportunity to just like speak to the audience and just say, you know, some advice, like if you, you know, when you first get started or if you're looking for a transplant, you know, quickly. And then, you know, just we want to have you back because I feel like you are a great number one advocate for patients, you know what I mean, for people that are going through it. And because you've gone through it, when we come up with issues that we're talking about to have, you know, how like on CNN, they have this specialist, you know, come on and like give their commentary about whatever the issue is, like you're our expert, you know, from the patient side. So I would love to have you back. And, you know, definitely appreciate all the, like the stuff that you've said is stuff that I haven't even thought about before. So that's great. But what would you like to say to folks that are either getting started, going through it? Like, what's your advice?
Okay, I'm gonna get to that, but let me just kind of finish this up and kind of start backwards.
Okay.
The third transplant, right after that second transplant, it lasted 4 months. I went back on dialysis, and once again, God intervened, and my wife knew a nurse. she had befriended, and they were good friends at the unit. And her husband was going to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center out in Los Angeles to get a kidney transplant. And she had seen a paper. It was just a little bitty old crumbled up paper. And it said heart transplant, third transplants. They were looking for third transplant participants to try these new studies, these new medicines. They're actually infusions. They stick a needle on your arm and they're 30-minute infusions called Vilitacet and Clazomibot. And so she gave it to my wife. She said, hey, don't your husband need another kidney? This would be his third kidney, right? He should call these people.